Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 3 of Pocketful of Awesome. That was a flash bar with flash self-described bar. Leading us into this week's episode. I am PJ Perez, and to my right this week, as opposed to front, is, as always, Mikey Vegas.
The Mikey Vegas.
Or Michael Willoughby, if you're looking for him for tax purposes.
Taxes? What are those?
Don't forget, kids, you've only got 45 days to file.
Yep. 45
it's
days to file.
Approximately. It's February 28th right now, so.
We are sober today. I think we should just front load that on everybody.
I think that may be the problem that we've...
It may be the problem. I think we're taking things a little serious today. Our flow is a little disrupted today. We have been fighting some technical issues over the course of the day. Not the least of which has been, what do we got? We got line noise. We've got the death of PJ's semi-ancient, yay for you, good employee, disc player. What else we got? I forgot headphones today. Like, I'm surprised I have pants on.
It's, you know what, the one con... Oh, and actually, there's something else that I didn't even bother to consider.
Uh-oh.
We almost didn't have the computer to record on because... My power supply
Your
went
power
bad
supply.
2 days ago.
Right.
After, which this is a $100 universal power supply that I bought to replace the first one that went bad last year.
Right.
And thankfully, it was just the power supply. I bought a new one for $50 and we're online.
Yeah.
I mean,
seriously, it's a miracle that this is even taking place. So your ear parts will thank you later for that one, for the miracle that is episode 3. After a 1 week sabbatical.
Right. We needed that week to recover from... Basically, we were hungover from the episode, I guess you could say.
Pretty much.
And
we earned that. We earned the hangover.
We did. So, taking a slightly different approach this week, we're probably going to not... We're going to attempt to not go off on tangents quite as much
quite
as we
as
have
much.
In the past.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, we're not working with a show outline.
Right.
So...
Let's put it like this, topically probably a little more loose, but due to the lack of inebriation this time, I think we'll be able to keep ourselves a little tighter once we decide on some topics.
Right, and also we'll probably have far less sound effects due to the technical limitations, and I know you guys are upset by that. I know how much you love to hear Malcolm's voice, for example.
Blaming the white man for everything.
The Malcolm X, who we did bring back today, and perhaps he'll turn up, you know, in an outtake or something, but we'll hopefully have all this settled by next week.
Because that's what this podcast needs. This podcast needs B-roll.
It does.
This needs some digressions from behind the scenes is what the people really want.
So I can tell you what we definitely will be doing today.
What's that?
Aside from discussing last night and its aftermath.
Well, there's a reason that we're sober today, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the recording of the podcast.
I'd say...
Really?
A little bit.
Had this been any other Sunday, we would not necessarily be as drunk as we were on the last episode.
Right.
But we would probably be drinking something.
Yes. I would say it would be more the moderate level of the first episode as opposed to
the
shenanigans.
Fun
of the
as
second.
Opposed to like the desperate shenanigans.
Because there's a difference. There's a world of difference between casually drinking and loosening up the conversation and just being silly and falling down over yourself like I was.
Oh my God.
I mean,
Seriously. Literally
on the floor rolling because I just could not keep it together.
Well, let's put it like this. The doink doink from the Law and Order should never be as funny as we found it. That's kind of the litmus test. That's the litmus test for us. When we're literally losing our shit because of not just a sound effect, but that sound effect, we've derailed at that point.
Right.
So... Hopefully we'll be a little bit more on track. I don't really think that we owe anybody an apology.
No.
Because, to be honest with you, let me put it like this. If you don't like what you're getting, feel free to ask for a refund.
Yes.
And we will give you back every single penny that you've paid for your Pocketful of Awesome.
Exactly.
So, What do we got? Let's talk about last night. Let's talk a little bit about the broader reason why we're sober today, PJ. What did we do last night?
Last night, 7 days after his actual birthday, we celebrated the birth of Mikey Vegas into the world.
Yes.
At Frankie's Tiki Room, a fine drinking establishment close to the center of town. If you've never been there, it's on Charleston, just east of Shadow Lane.
Yes.
In the shadow of UMC, University yes. Medical Center.
Yes, indeed. In the shadow.
It was epic, pretty much, I'd say.
It was a pretty epic night. I mean, we usually have a good time
right.
when we go out. I mean, look, we have a good time sitting in a room on a Sunday morning.
right.
So when you put us out in public where we can actually interact with other people... and be heavily lubricated by alcohol. The fun never stops, really. I mean, it really doesn't.
Right. But I don't know what time you left. I don't know if you guys left shortly after I did, because I know people started to kind of slowly leave.
Everybody, I will say this. Most of our friends from the Beer and Blog
yes.
were out there.
Yes.
And those people are some troopers.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, because I didn't get home until like 4:45
wow.
this morning. Which, I mean, and I understand.
Well, was that straight from the bar? And wasn't there a stop at maybe Blueberry Hill?
Yeah, but it was brief.
Okay.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, because they hustle. They hustle at Blueberry Hill. So literally, I sucked down my Belgian waffle and my bacon very quickly, and we got the hell out of there. So, I mean, we left that bar at about 4 a.m.
Yeah. And that's... To put this in perspective, they got there at 9.
Yeah, we got there
and,
at 9.
I got there like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And I left at 2:30, and that's a 5.5 hour shift.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You guys put in like, you know, if I'm doing my math right, 7 hour shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
we,
know.
We put it the fuck down, dude.
That's a long time to spend in a bar drinking.
There was a lot of drinking going on. There was a lot of drinking. And I've discovered, much to the chagrin of the lovely and talented Danny Dew Crafty, the girl who puts up with my horse shit on a day-in, day-out basis, that I really enjoy the space cigarettes, PJ. Those things, that is like candy for your lungs. It is amazing.
Was that a real thing? The what? Space cigarettes?
Fuck yes, it was.
Because I've never heard of this until last night.
No, they're not. I mean, they're not like space cigarettes. They don't come in like a shiny, metallic package or whatever.
No,
the fuck.
But do they really do the flavor change?
Yes,
thing
they
that you
do
were
the fucking
about?
Flavor change thing.
Will
yes.
you explain this for people
yeah,
who don't know?
Yeah, let me explain this. The Camel Cigarette Company, they're fucking geniuses. They put out these cigarettes where you have the choice of smoking just a regular cigarette, or if you bite down on the tiny little Camel logo on the filter, it turns into a delicious menthol lung treat.
Wow.
For you. And I'm not a smoker. I don't smoke regularly. We don't take smoke breaks on the Pocket Full of Awesome.
Right.
I don't smoke normally, but so help me God, when I am out drinking for what is a normal person's work day, there's a better than average chance that I'm going to be smoking some cigarettes. And that is just some amazing fucking cigarette technology, dude. And I smoked probably half of Kendall's pack of cigarettes last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure your lungs are thanking you today.
Actually, my lungs seem to be very, very good today.
This is the thing with Mike. Mike had to have drunk more than the rest of us last night, just based on just the situation and the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to have a lot.
I had a lot to drink.
And I had enough. I had two rummy cocktails and two beers, and I stopped somewhat early so that I could drive home because
right.
the girlfriend wasn't driving home. I did the driving.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, and I felt like shit this morning.
Right.
You know, and I stopped drinking relatively early. I came home, I ate, I tried to soak it up a bit, you know, but
right.
it didn't matter. But and everyone else that went last night, I'm reading Twitter updates all morning, and they're all hungover, and they're all in pain, you know? Oh,
there are some people who are hurting today. I mean, and again, they earned it.
Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
earned it. It was not a short trip to the bar. It was not a couple of drinks. I mean, it was...
It was the proper way to celebrate the birth of a great man.
It's... Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And if we could figure out whose birth we were celebrating, that would be fantastic. But yeah, dude, I had three green gassers,
yeah,
and two zombies,
oof,
and three or four Budweisers.
And he's fine.
And I'm totally fine
he
today.
He is sitting here just fucking...
I could have sprung out of bed at 8 a.m. today. The only reason why I didn't get up at 8 was because of the late hour that I got home, not because of any hangover.
Right, right.
And because it was my day off today, so I was just like, screw it, I didn't have to be here until later in the afternoon today, and I just decided I was going to sleep in, you know, and kind of rest up, because yesterday was an early day, and then a late night, I was a little tired, but not at all hungover.
No.
I'm back in my mode, PJ, like, that's what it is, dude. I am back into where I was when I very first moved here. When I used to go, in fact, and this will actually dovetail with the music that you brought for us today.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go to this joint right across from UNLV called The Rock.
The Rock.
Who had, I don't know, I guess the...
Really?
The wherewithal to offer me $10 all you can drink on a Friday night.
Boy.
And you were with me. You were with me last night, PJ, and I can drink.
Yes.
And this was when I was A, younger, and B, fresh from Colorado. And so I would roll in there, and it would start at like 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and then end at 6 a.m. That's yeah. when they were like, yes, your all you can drink is done.
Right.
And so I would show up right as it was starting, and there was always a band. Like, that's the other thing. There was always a band that played.
Yes.
And the first night I was there, I actually got a chance to hear the band that we're gonna talk about here in a minute. And I would get lit the hell up and then go pick up tourists on the strip. And not to, like, steal kidneys or molest them or whatever, but to take them where they were going.
Wow.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
did not know that.
Oh, yeah. No, you haven't heard this story before?
No.
I seriously, dude, my two favorites, I picked up a group of, and this was back when I was driving a 91 Chrysler LeBaron convertible, okay? And it was winter time, because I moved down here in October, okay? Which winter, Vegas winter,
winter time
Vegas winter
in October in Vegas,
Vegas
so it was
winter.
Like 70 degrees and
it was a little,
day,
no this was later this is, no I'm saying it was later than that. It was chilly dude.
How could you have come from Colorado and say it was chilly in October in Vegas?
Because I was driving around in a convertible with the fucking top
okay,
down.
Well,
that's why I'm not saying that there was snow on the ground.
We do have brisk evenings.
Yeah, it's a
fall.
Little it gets a
that's
little
not winter,
fucking
that's
chilly
autumn.
Fair enough, whatever. But winter for Vegas is, you know, like summer where I grew up. But
right.
regardless.
Right.
I would cruise around with the top down and the heater blasting. And I shuttled a group of like seven tourists from out in front of Bally's where they were trying to hail a cab. Mm-hmm. I literally just whipped up in front of them and yelled at them to get in the car. And drank their drinks that they brought into my car.
Wow.
As we drove down the... Oh, it was fantastic. Took them to the OG, the Olympic Garden there. Yeah.
Has the statute of limitations passed already for this?
For what? What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do to me? What are you going to do? What can you take from me at this point? Really, PJ? My liver isn't working
right.
anymore. My dignity is gone. But more on that in a second, thanks to you.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, thanks to you with your awesome gift buying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, let's talk about that for just a second. Let's talk about what you decided was an appropriate gift for me, for my birthday, my post-birthday bash.
So I was at Town Square this weekend having dinner and generally spending time with half the city, it appears. Because on a Friday night, half the city is at Town Square.
And all of the teenagers.
Yes. And that's fine. They have somewhere to go. That's good.
That's true.
And that means that people are spending money on something.
They have a fake lawn to go sit on.
Right. You know what? I would love to have a fake lawn. Because maintaining this real lawn, not that much fun.
Do you even know what grass actually is? Because I asked you about a plant outside the window earlier, and you were like, oh, it's a plant.
Listen,
I don't know.
Mike, I bought the house. I didn't build it. I didn't put in landscaping.
Wow.
It was already here.
Really?
That's all I'm saying.
Really?
I mean, I can't tell you what type of wood was used in the frame for the house either.
Curiously enough, that matters a lot less than the plant that's growing right outside your window.
Well, and you know, I was thinking about that this morning when I was eating breakfast, because there's a plant outside the window there that looks like it's sprouting something red, like fruit-ish or berry-ish.
Oh, uh-huh.
But I don't know what.
Right. Well, and you have a couple of little faces running around here, and you probably don't want them eating random red berries, do you?
Well, we've lived here for 6 or 7 months, and they haven't died from anything outside yet. So.
Do they eat things off the ground?
You know, the funny thing about the dogs, and I have two Pekingese who are really not smart at all. I mean, they're adorable as all get out, but they are dumb as a rock. They really only eat things that aren't food that they find. If you give them food, they'll eat it. But generally, inside the house, they know that the difference between, let's say, a rubber band and, you know, something edible or something that should be edible. But then they'll just go and do things like chew on rocks or,
right.
or you know, the lint from my sock, like, or toilet paper. Oh, my God. Sophia loves toilet paper. Like, if you accidentally miss, like, the trash can, not toilet, like, tissue or something, if you miss the trash can.
That was about to be a real interesting story.
Yeah, sorry.
We're about to have to have a whole conversation
sorry.
About.
So I'm saying, like, you know, if there's Kleenex or something.
Right.
And you miss the trash can and you don't pick it up, she finds it, she will fucking chew on that shit for hours.
Wow.
And I
dogs truly are filthy fucking
they
creatures.
They are. Well, I mean, I guess that's better than Rosie, who likes to eat her own defecation. Her own defecatory materials.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Really? We went there? Are we on
Listen.
On NPR?
Listen.
Is that what's going on here? That you can't say that the dog eats her own shit?
Well, no, I just wanted to flower it up a bit.
That wasn't flowery. I mean, you could have gotten, like, graphic and flowery. That would have been kind of awesome.
Okay, listen, so she does that. And I don't really know what else to say about it. I've read that it's not uncommon.
Right.
And it's not weird.
It's pretty common.
But one night, we're sitting at home with a friend who's staying with us. So we have the pull-out bed out, and we're all just sitting on there watching Law & Order, probably. You know, and if
as you glance at the laptop because you want to hit the sound effect,
I
want to
hit the
count.
Doink doink. I want to do it, but I can't because it now because of the line noise issue. I would have to quickly turn the mixer up as I hit the sound, and it just won't work.
Nah, it's not gonna work.
So,
but next week,
yeah, next week,
next week,
next week.
Something
so,
to look forward to.
So Rosie starts the who eats her poo. She starts to get sick. Which, again, is normal. They're small dogs with sensitive stomachs, so if they don't eat enough or whatever, they'll
I'm
sometimes
horrified by the potential of this story
PJ. They'll sometimes have just, like, you know, a little bit of yellow bile or something. Nothing big. And thankfully, we had wood floors.
Yes.
So I go to... She's up on the bed with us, so I go to set her down on the floor.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than an animal vomiting on your
right.
bed.
Right. And if it's on the floor, you just wipe it up. It's done. She... she starts to get sick, and it's this terrible sound followed by the worst smell that you will... I'm sure that a pile of rotting bodies in Haiti does not smell as bad as what came out of this dog's mouth. She basically vomited an entire piece of dog shit.
Oh, this is what I was waiting for.
Whole.
Oh, my God.
It was just... It was a log, man.
Oh.
And I feel so bad for her, like how she got that whole. I mean, this thing was like half the length of her. Because Pekingese are small dogs,
But they are long dogs.
Yeah, well, they're longish. I mean, We're not, you know,
the long and the torso.
Well, yeah, which cost me $7,000, but that's another story. So yeah, it was amazingly horrendous, but also extremely interesting at the same time that it even happened. But the smell,
horrifying and fascinating. Yeah,
the
all
smell
at once.
Permeated the house.
Oh
for,
God!
You know.
Oh it God. Was,
it was bad.
Yeah, dude, that is exactly what I was waiting for when you started this story, and it was like it didn't get any easier that I was somewhat psychologically prepared for it, and it's still, dude, it just like that just like it made me weak in the knees, dude.
Yeah.
Like I just
and doesn't it make you filled with anticipation for watching them next week?
I can't wait. I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to be... I will be your proxy here.
Yeah. I will say that she hasn't done anything like that in the interim year, so...
I can't wait. You know what? I hope that this comes out right about the time we're coming here, so Danny can hear that right as we're, like, pulling into the driveway.
Right. Oh, it will.
We'll just cue it up.
So sorry, I took us slightly off topic. So I'm at Town Square.
Town Square.
And there's a new candy shop there called, well, it's new to me. It's kind of close to the
I didn't even know about this
right.
until you told me.
It's close to the Rave Motion Pictures Theater.
Ah.
It's called It's Sugar, and it's a candy store, and it's, has a somewhat of a more varied selection than, say, the Sweet Factory or somewhere like that. It has more of these sort of classic candies. It's got great selection of Pez, and they have, like, the wall of M&M flavors that you can choose. Well, I guess M&M's don't come in flavors, they come in colors.
Colors,
it has the
yeah.
wall of colors you can choose from, and they have, like, these classic candy packs that has, like, I don't know. I can't name any classic candy.
Wow.
Name some classic candy for me.
Dude, I like Zagnut bars.
Yes.
Is that what you were going
that kind
for?
Of shit.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Whatever. Charleston Chew.
Charleston Chew's kind of the money, dude.
I hate Charleston Chew.
Really?
When I was a kid, I liked it.
Did you
but,
freeze them?
You know what? I've never really been into the freezing candy thing. I think because I have like sensitive teeth and I don't like the hardness. I don't know.
Whatever. It's all right.
So they have in the corner of the store a selection of edible candy garments, like, you know, a gummy bra or a candy necklace g-string.
Here's my question for you before we hit the actual punchline on this. Have you had the edible underwear, PJ? Have you ever worn them? I'm not asking
eaten.
If you wore them. Have you ever put them in your mouth?
No.
Okay. I used to sell them. I used to sell a lot of them.
Back when you were working in your adult
in the adult entertainment industry.
Right.
Back in the day, that was something that put a roof over my head and food in my belly occasionally. They are like the worst fruit roll-up on the planet. Like, I understand that it is a novelty, and I understand that it is a gag gift and whatever. But really, it's pretty foul.
I'm sure.
It's not... Just because something is going to cover your ass slightly, it shouldn't actually taste like your ass.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. Unavoidable, I guess. So I found a men's posing strap pouch, whatever it's called.
Banana hammock.
It's basically a banana hammock made of like candy necklace.
Yes.
Which is kind of awesome.
It is in its own way, it's kind of awesome.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking first I just thought it was amusing, and I took a picture of it and I posted it on Twitter with the question, who wants to see me in this? And actually the response was 3-2 for seeing me in it.
Of course it was, because people love the PJ.
Right.
They love the mayor.
I'm going to say that my popularity would probably go down once people saw my hairy junk wrapped up in candy necklace.
There's something about sticky, elastic, hard candy wrapped up, with, you know, because, I mean, it's going to get nasty.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, because let's be honest, PJ, we're not the metrosexual
no.
type. There's a lot of swarthy going on up here. Right. There's a lot of having to shave while we're shaving.
Right.
Going on up in this room right now. And that is with the candy necklace. I mean, I'm sweating right now, and we're sitting here and we're recording, you know, I mean, right. very leisurely. Like we're not drinking. We're right. not even laughing that hard right. at this point. And you know, and I'm all like, it's a little warm and, you know, and whatever. You wouldn't be able to move across the couch in that thing before it turned into a fucking disaster in your nether regions. You know what I'm saying, dude?
Yeah. So I decided to get it for Mike for his birthday.
Which was fantastic. And give it to me at the bar.
And I gave it to him in a sparkly silver bag.
Yes.
At the bar.
Which is fitting.
Yeah. And it probably got about equal enthusiastic reaction as my pants dropping did.
Yes, which happened a couple of different times because the first time wasn't good enough and there weren't enough cameras on you the first time.
Yeah, for anyone that hasn't been out drinking with me or out at a bar without me drinking or at a concert.
Or just around. In your house.
I do occasionally just drop trowel.
On a Sunday morning.
Right, just like no doubt.
Just, you know. Don't do it. No.
Anyway,
you know what, dude? Unless you're Gwen Stefani yeah. making me a delicious spaghetti meal, I don't want to hear it out of you.
A delicious spaghetti meal.
That's what she's doing in the video, dude.
Oh, I don't think I've seen the video.
No, you're gonna make the reference and then have.
I know the song, but I've never seen the video.
Zero depth. That's awesome, dude. That's really good.
Okay, bear in mind that I didn't own a TV at any point in my life prior to my girlfriend moving in.
At any point
or,
in your life?
Hold on. Well, sorry. Let me back up that. Bear in mind.
Okay. That take two.
In my adult life.
Okay.
I've never owned a TV with the exception of having one from a roommate or whatever.
Okay.
So basically between 18 and present, I haven't watched that much TV. So music videos, once we hit, you know, 1994 or whatever. It's well, even before then, I'm you know, unless I've caught them on YouTube just accidentally, I'm
right.
You know, and it's just like most other pop culture things. I miss the references because I don't consume that much pop culture, despite what people think.
Which is fascinating because you have this whole. I don't think people know what to do with you, PJ. I don't think people know like how to take you, because on one hand, you are portrayed, rightfully or wrongly, as like. I don't know, purveyor of all things geek.
Right.
You know, and entertainment.
Right.
As well. And, yeah. you know, and I understand that you may feel a little pigeonholed.
Yeah.
By that, you know. But I don't know. It's fascinating to me. Although you did recognize the last time we were at Frankie's before last night, the kid in the Yellow Lantern t-shirt.
Yes. Yes, I did.
And the rave pants.
Yes.
I actually saw a dude driving a car, I shit you not, with like those die cut decals, right?
Yeah.
The like the laser cut yeah. ones. One for every fucking lantern.
That's some dedication
on the
to
back
your,
window.
That's dedication to your geekdom.
That is putting yourself at other people at risk for your fucking geekdom.
Well,
because
that
I
too.
Swear to God there was about I don't know, maybe 4 inches on one side of the window at the bottom,
right?
Like below the headrest, and about 4 inches on the other. Everything else was just taken up by that shit. And I mean, literally, it was mind-boggling to me. That's some shit.
It is. I see, I honestly don't get that stuff. I guess, and this is the thing that kind of goes back to me being hard to kind of pin down. I don't really get into the accoutrement that goes with consuming pop culture. You'll notice that I have some posters and stuff in this room.
Where, yeah.
And we record in, I guess, what would be considered the music room in the house.
Yeah, it's the band room.
It's the band room. It's where my band rehearses and records. But, I mean, I have some posters featuring Miles Davis and Henry Rollins in here, and then I have some artwork by local artists like Danny Roberts and Mark Zielman, who also plays bass in my band. But, there's not like comic book shit all over. There's not statuettes and figurines and busts all over.
Right.
I don't have like shelves full of action figures. I don't have t-shirts with really anything on them. I mean, I don't wear band t-shirts. I don't wear, you know, like, except to maybe go to the gym or something, you know. I buy them sometimes for collecting purposes, but I don't wear them. And I don't, like, you know. I once considered buying a Captain America shirt because I thought it looked cool, like, but I never bought it because I felt weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been accused before of, like, kind of being an in-the-closet geek.
Because, yeah, no, it seems like, yeah, it seems like, because you have all of these geeky tendencies.
Right.
I mean, you have a Superman tattoo.
Right.
Right? And you have a giant robot tattoo.
Right.
Right? Okay. Yet, like, somehow that's okay, because it's...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not purposely trying to obscure my geekdom.
Well, one thing that I will say is keeping that a little more subtle, I guess, not being, like, full-on fucking fanboy
exactly
about everything. It does help you get laid, which is not unimportant. I mean, right? You know, just being real here, you know, I mean, it's hard unless you're, you know, unless you're hunting cosplayers or right. something, to, you know, to find a pretty lady to take to bed if you are running around in your Yellow Lantern shirt right. and rave pants at the bar.
Yeah.
You're going to have better luck not doing that.
And in all fair, I mean, this is the thing. I only started getting into this comic book stuff again a couple of years ago, and I did it kind of, I was doing an assignment for the magazine I was editing, and I went to Comic-Con, and I was all like, right. oh, hey, this shit's kind of cool. And I just happened to start picking up on it, and I was like, hey, I think I want to, you know, go ahead and try writing comics and whatever.
Well, and to be fair, the comics that, I don't know, the comics that you're personally involved in aren't really the underpants pervert comics.
No. Yeah. I don't know. And it's weird because I think when I was younger, I had sort of the same problem on a flip side because I didn't fall into any particular clique. I was into punk rock, but I wasn't a hardcore punk. Like, I was into goth. And I hung out with, I had a lot of friends who were into goth, but I wasn't a goth, you know, like, it was this thing. I went to ska shows, but I wasn't, it was.
You weren't a rude boy?
No. And no one really knew what to do with me then. And I always felt sort of like my intentions were always suspect. I feel sort of the same way now again, because I may appear to be like the jock trying to appear geeky to get, because it's the cool thing. Not that I'm a jock by any means, but I'm trying to, like, make
no,
the hierarchy.
You're yeah. an interloper.
Yes.
You are not of the clique.
Right. Because yeah. all of a sudden, you know, geek culture has blown up.
Sure.
I'm one of the dudes trying to come in and take advantage of it.
Right.
That I'm not authentic because I wasn't living and breathing, you know, comics and sci-fi and, you know, nerdy shit for years.
Right.
Because I, you know, I, like, actually have social life and, you know, playing bands and,
yeah, and social,
you know,
skills and all of that
actually
stuff.
Actually had
yeah.
girlfriends, you know.
Well, again, right? Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But I feel like that sometimes, and honestly, it's sort of like what you were saying about how I've been pigeonholed as kind of being either this geek culture emissary or being really big on entertainment.
Right.
Because I have written about arts and entertainment for most of my journalistic career.
Right.
And I ran a magazine that was primarily focused on entertainment.
Right.
And I know so little about it. Because again, we go back to not watching TV. I don't listen to commercial radio. You know, I'm an NPR listening geek that listens to the same music I've been listening to since I was in high school. And I block out a lot of the world. Now, recently that's changed because of the magic of the Twitter technology and the
right.
social media spectrum. But, yeah, I mean, I'm clueless. I had to run this website that was basically an entertainment gossip blog,
mm-hmm.
and I had to look up every single person that I was writing about. Like, I didn't know anything about anyone. I don't know anything about sports. I don't know anything about, like, celebrities. I don't know anything about any of that. And it obviously made my job a little bit difficult.
Right. That's a lot of research for very few column inches.
Yes.
As it were.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think we've talked
you.
About me enough.
Is it ever enough, AJ?
The thing is, guys, I just like what I like, and I write what I write, and I don't necessarily, you know, I don't think that I am required to be part of some sort of group.
No, you know? but people, I think our natural tendency as human beings, we have a predisposition for labeling and categorizing.
Because that's how we make sense of the world.
Yeah, we're very good at it. It's made us very, very successful.
You know I have a degree in sociology, right?
I do know that you have a degree in sociology, which is why I feel comfortable bringing subjects
like
this up.
I don't know if you guys out there know that.
They do now. You know that I have a degree in nothing?
And yet, you are still much better informed and smarter than I am.
Oh, God, could you be any more on my dick?
I'm just saying.
I mean, I appreciate it.
I mean, you know.
I appreciate it, but I can't take a compliment worth a damn, PJ. Like, that's the truth. Like, you get, like, insults I can take. I can take insults
right.
all day, but a modicum of kindness, and I'm like, oh, fuck you.
I know.
Why don't you just go to hell?
But, Mike, it's because I love you. It's
well,
because without you, my Sundays, they would be empty and lonely. Just me and my stinky dogs sitting here drinking a beer, wondering what's the point of it all.
Wondering when the next shit vomit's coming, really.
You just ruined my tender moment.
I did. I fucked it up, dude. That's the problem. You have to get me liquored up in order for the tenderness to come out. That's the problem. I'm not... You can ask Danny about this. I am just hard and harsh until I get a couple of drinks in me, and then I'm, like, sweet and cuddly. That's the problem.
Speaking of sweet and cuddly, you know what time it is?
What time is it, PJ? Transition time.
It's transition
segue time.
It's time to talk about other stuff because we're at about the 45-minute mark.
Well, that's good.
That's generally about when we want to bring up music.
Yeah, let's talk about music.
So I think we're going to do something a little bit different from the approach we've taken the last couple episodes where Mike and I kind of introduce each other and you find listeners to all sorts of new and old music. I'm going to focus on one local band today.
Which is, I mean, and to again, to be fair, these guys actually really deserve it.
Yes.
They deserve all of the focus.
Slow to Surface is a 5-piece band that has been active in Vegas for, my God, at least 10 years.
Forever.
They were originally called Product, and they're led by a gentleman called Ben Wood. And he's an amazing lyricist and a very dynamic vocalist who can, you know, go from whisper to scream and back to a croon and does it all with just so much passion. The band, it kills me that these guys have not sold millions of records.
Right.
They just write these really powerful, emotional songs that don't, but they aren't so overbearing that you feel like they're taking themselves too seriously.
Well, and it's not campy, and
no.
It's not like cheesy, super serious, whatever. No, it's just it's really, really solid tunes.
Yeah.
The way around.
And the musicianship is top notch. The energy they put into shows, you know, I mean, just everything. And yet, you know, they've been playing the local circuit for all this time,
right.
And have not. They did some stuff back in, I think, the late 90s or early aughts, where I think they did some national TV stuff, but it never really went any further than that, and that happens a lot, you know. I mean, it's really who you know and being in the right place at the right time, and, you know, there's bands locally who have achieved success that, and
off
we've talked about this before.
Two shows.
Well, and again, I'm not... There's nothing wrong with that because, my God, anyone who gets that break...
Yeah, I don't know. I can't necessarily agree with you that there's nothing wrong with that. I personally, I gotta say, I have a problem with that.
Well, I guess
it
what
bothers
I'm saying
me on
is,
a fundamental level.
It's not the band's fault. What I'm saying is
no,
I don't fault the band for that
enough.
Sort of thing happening.
Fair enough. Yeah.
It's a problem that's indicative of the system as a whole.
Sure.
As
sure.
opposed to it. You can't. I mean, you know, as much as I'd like to take Panic at the Disco and say, "Hey, I'm going to make an example of you guys because you played one show before getting signed to a you
right.
know, basically." I mean, I don't think that getting signed to a record label run by Pete Wentz is a is a minor label. That's a major label. I'm sorry. You know, like.
Well, did we talk about this before?
I'm
before
not sure.
We horribly fucking derailed in the past. I think we talked about. We may have talked about distribution and how there is no such thing as an indie label right now, unless it's literally two dudes in a basement apartment someplace.
No, we didn't talk about that, but that's a very valid point.
I had to have been talking about that with somebody. And I assume, yeah. Let me put it like this. It's the type of conversation that I am surprised we didn't have.
Right.
So let's have it now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man, that's pretty much it. It's at one point, there was such a thing as an independent record label.
Sure.
It was, you know, this really came up in the 80s where, you know, bands and these sort of independent producers formed a network. And this is, you know, long before the internet,
at least
long before the public internet. And, you know, we're talking about just making connections, you know, couch surfing.
Touring your ass off.
You couldn't get out to the big box stores and you couldn't get...
Right.
You couldn't
get that was back when there were real local record stores
also. Right. And it was a whole different thing. But the thing is, there were independent labels who...
Right.
Didn't have the distribution. They really had to kind of be subversive in the way that they marketed and distributed bands. Now, quote unquote, indie bands are on record labels that, yes, they may not be owned by a conglomerate, but they still have the same, they're using the same channels as Warner Brothers or Sony or whatever to get the music and the artists out there. So there's no differentiation between an indie artist and a major label artist anymore, even though they still like to make them so that you think that there's, you know...
Sure, which is the whole point of the imprint label you were talking about, Pete Wentz, or, you know, which really started to go nuts. I think when we were talking about Muse, we mentioned Maverick a little bit. You know, It seemed that was that for a while there was the big ooh-ah prize for a musician or group of musicians who did well by the record company. You got your little token of your imprint.
Right.
And you know, everybody has one.
Yeah.
Now, it's not interesting anymore. It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's another title to slap on the bottom of the CD case.
Right, right. But Slow to Surface has done none of that.
Well, and again, and unfortunately, because they're fucking fantastic.
Right, and this is a band that has, you know, played their asses off, and
they've done all the work.
To stay together that amount of time and still be awesome is just amazing to me because, you know.
Yeah, they were actually the first band that I saw in this town.
At the Rock.
At the Rock. I moved down here from a very, very vibrant music culture in northern Colorado and out of Fort Collins.
As we discussed on the last episode.
As we did. And was very upset when I found myself in Las Vegas. It was such a big change, I guess. And just on a lark, I ended up seeing these guys, and it was so fantastic because it was like there actually is quality music going on in Las Vegas.
And that was how long ago?
That was in 03. Yeah. Yep. 03, 04.
So I guess maybe we should play some of their music.
Yeah. We've talked about them enough.
First song I'm going to play is one of my favorites. It's called 10 Lies, and it's from their album The Reason We Do This, which pretty much every single track on that album is awesome. And unless I'm wrong, if you go to the band's website at slowtosurface.com, and that's two spelled out, not the number two, it's T-O.
Yeah, none of that shenanigans.
I believe the entire album's available for free download, which is really freaking cool.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, here's 10 Lies from Solar Surface.
I'm out. So stale that the morning tells of how he knows.
That was a little bit of 10 Lies by Slow to Surface. Man, I freaking love that stuff. I seriously can just listen to it on repeat. And but really, you got to see them live.
They put on a hell of a live
they
show.
They do. And they have a show coming up here pretty soon.
Do they?
They will be playing somewhere at some time.
Yeah. You know, I bet I know where people can find that information.
You can follow a link that we're going to post right here.
There we go.
Pocketfulofawesome.com.
Some show notes.
Or you could probably go to slowtosurface.com, or you can go find them on Facebook or MySpace or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I can really say about the band more than we've already said.
Now, we've said everything. What's the next track?
This one is called I'm Gonna Leave. I really wish I mean, we could play people entire songs. You know,
we really could.
I mean, it's not like we have some sort of time restriction. It's not like we haven't gone to an hour and a half of us talking before multiple times.
No, but we do need to try to do better. So
we do.
Let's do some clips.
We're going to I'm going to play "I'm Gonna Leave," which is a really intense song. This just blows up a room when they play this. It's you know, very rad. Here's "I'm Gonna Leave" by Slow to Surface from their album "The Reason We Do This."
Over. Let's get over this. I don't really see the point to end. I don't recognize the girl I met. The timing isn't my thing, but I don't want to be that person to you. Try not to get caught up, but I don't think I've seen the worst of it. I don't think I've seen the sunset yet. Always thinking of ways of telling myself to just sit still. I'm telling myself to just sit still.
That's just a little bit of "I'm Gonna Leave." It got kind of a little bit of a Fugazi feel there.
Like, yeah, a little with the mathy.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah,
that's good.
We can't go wrong with that, though.
You really can't. You really can't.
But I think that really displayed kind of the range of both the band and Ben Wood, who, you know, he just kind of hits you right there. And even when he spazzes out, it still kind of sounds like he's got control.
Well,
which
and
is tough to do, is to really convincingly emote like that and yet not just
Too many people get away with that, I guess. You know what I mean? A lot of people try. A lot of people fail. You know, and on the success part, I'm thinking like, I don't know, Mike Patton, maybe. You know who I'm talking about? You know who
yes,
I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Well, no, I'm not, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just wanted to make sure that that I didn't have to clarify.
Do the listeners at home know who Mike
Patton
was?
Mike Patton was the, I don't know, primary artist behind bands like Mr. Bungle and Faith No More. He's also done, I don't know, all kinds of...
He's got a new project like every other year.
He is an insanely talented musician and an insanely talented vocalist.
I think most people would know him from Faith No More, and actually he was not the original singer of Faith No More.
No, he wasn't.
But people would primarily know him from there,
but he was the one who was on Epic, and that's the only one that anybody knows about.
Mr. Bungle... You know, if all you've ever heard from Mike Patton is his work with Faith No More, I'm going to say that you may or may not like Mr. Bungle, but there's a lot there from which to choose. that project, he's all over the place with the styles and sounds. And I don't even think that any sort of description without the music would make sense.
No.
Maybe we'll make a note, future episode, we'll bring in some Mr. Bungle and maybe some other Mike Patton stuff. And
we could probably do a whole show just on Mike Patton. He also put out some really, and again, just wildly changing styles there, I guess, with John Zorn.
I haven't heard that stuff.
It's completely different.
Do you think we could get Mike Patton on the show?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah. That's the thing. I know one of the things that we've been talking about during our week-long sabbatical and whatever, somebody, a very cool cat by the name of Hernan Valencia, get a little name check up in this piece.
Word.
Made a suggestion or a comment or whatever about essentially doing a compare and contrast theme show about the 90s and the aughts in Vegas. And that kind of touched off a whole line of thought about maybe doing some more like thematically geared shows as opposed to topically geared shows.
Right. Which this is where you find people out there listening come in. Instead of us just vaguely asking you for questions that you would like answered or topics you'd like discussed, how about some themes?
Yeah.
We could base an entire show around Mike Patton. We could base an entire show around the 1990s. We could base an entire show around Mike's underwear.
That's like a whole series of shows.
Right, actually. That is. He's got one for each day of the week, so
it's
that's
it's
at
amazing.
Least seven right there.
Amazing, yeah. A whole run.
Yeah, Mike, I'd like you to know that your computer just gave me an error.
I bet I even know which one it is.
Which
is it
one?
The NM Index server?
Sir.
Yeah, go ahead and just hit it.
I did.
Yeah, it does that.
Interesting. Yeah. So... yeah, we definitely want your feedback, good or bad.
Give us some suggestions, because that's at the end of the day here, we could talk about anything.
Right.
We really could. We're talky dudes.
In case you hadn't noticed.
If you hadn't noticed. So that's the thing, and we'd love to do that. Because literally this we don't do this really for us, I guess. I mean, because if we were just doing it for us, we wouldn't record it.
We would just go to a bar and get beers and talk about
the
same
shit. And bullshit, which is how this whole thing kind of started.
Yeah, that is. And the thing is, you can complain about the episodes and you can complain about us talking too much, but unless you tell us what you want to hear, we have no way of changing that.
Nope.
So,
yeah, make
email,
a suggestion.
Comments,
if you want
Twitter.
Us to talk about music to stand on the hood of a Camaro in the desert, too. We could probably do an entire, I owned a Camaro, I live in the desert, I like music. We can find some music to stand on the hood of a Camaro in the desert, too. But yeah, email, Twitter, Facebook, leave a comment on the webpage.
Yes. So you can, and you know, if you're subscribing and forgot where to find us, pocketfulofawesome.com, just go there. There's links to everything. Or just go to facebook.com/pocketfulofawesome or twitter.com/MikeyVegas.
Or /PJPerez.
One of the two.
Or search the hashtag pocketfulofawesome.
Yes. And every time that you use the hashtag pocketfulofawesome, an angel gets its wings.
It's true.
It is. It's a proven fact.
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 Word.
Put
so,
a pin in it.
Yeah. I think that we might have actually...
I think we've done it.
I think we've wrapped up an episode in an hour.
Yes.
And done it without going too far off the rails.
Nope.
We are definitely going to be doing a 90s themed episode
coming up soon.
Thanks to the... Oh, wait. I can't wrap up the episode yet.
Why not?
Because we did have a listener question.
A listener question?
That
somebody actually did what we asked them to do and asked us something?
It happened. I know it's kind of hard to believe, but yeah. So I guess it's time for Ask the Awesome.
Ask the Awesome.
And it's a little bumper music there provided by Under the Influence of Giants. It's a segment from a song called Got Nothing.
It's good
I
stuff.
Didn't have the title on the first episode, so I
oh,
had
you're
it this
just
time.
Like, yeah, that's just Under the Influence of Giants.
Under the Influence of Giants. They are a funky band. Robert F. Ludwig. who is someone I've known for a few years now and used to work with when I was at the UNLV on the Rebel Yell, which is the...
Oh, I didn't realize that Robert worked on the...
I know this is going to surprise you. He was our computer manager.
Shocking.
I know. And he actually wrote a pretty decent column about tech stuff.
Again, unsurprising. Wholly unsurprising.
I know. I'm being mobbed by my dogs again, by the way. So okay.
Everybody wants a little piece of the PJ.
If something
love.
Bad happens, it's going to be because one of them
Hopefully
stepped on a cord.
Not fecal vomit.
Right, fecal vomit. Oh, that's a great name for
Isn't
a punk
it?
Band.
Oh, fuck punk band, dude. That's like hyper blast or like death metal, dude.
No, I could see it. I could see it being like a thrash, kind of like a thrash
oh,
punk
thrash?
Band.
Oh, thrash? Yeah. Oh, that would be a good thrash band. Yeah.
Anyway.
And you can't use it because it's ours.
Right, it's ours. So fecal vomit, we should reserve that right now on MySpace.
We've already got it.
Okay, good.
We did it.
Fantastic.
We're done.
So Robert asked why I changed my name from Paul to PJ.
And I've never actually heard this story.
No, and we'll need to actually back up here a bit because the PJ, which people ask all the time, and I'll put this out here now so you guys can stop asking because it's not that interesting, stands for Paul Joseph. It was my grandfather's name. His name was Paul Joseph. My name is Paul Joseph. However, my biological father was really into the works of Robert E. Howard, who authored Conan the Barbarian, John Carter of Mars, I think, too, and a bunch of other stuff like that. But bunch of, you know, fantasy sci-fi type stuff in the 70s or 60s or whatever. And I was almost named Conan. Which, in retrospect, doesn't seem that bad because you're like, oh, look, there's a really famous Conan
on
the TV.
Yeah, but at the time, that would have been rough. Dude.
I mean, growing up as Conan would not have been that cool.
No.
Not even when those Schwarzenegger movies came out.
You don't get to split people with a sword in real life.
I would have to. I would actually have to pack sword.
Like more sword than you're packing now? Am I right?
Yeah. So when I was. Okay, I've always had a very rich fantasy life in my head. Like, in my head, I've always been more important than I actually am in the real world, which is fine.
Little Walter Mitty action going on?
Sure.
You know what I'm talking
no
about?
No idea.
Okay.
I'm just going to smile and nod.
It's okay.
Is this a book thing?
Yes, it's a literary. It was a literary
See,
reference.
This is the other thing.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
People ask me this all the time. What's your favorite book? Who's your favorite author? What are you reading?
Twitter. That's what you're reading.
I don't read that much.
Right.
I never really have. It's not that I can't, obviously, or that I don't want to, but ever since I was a kid, I've spent more time creating than consuming. So my consumption is fairly limited, and...
But your creation knows no bounds.
Well, and, you know, I try to do things original. I try to create original ideas. And the problem with working in a vacuum like that is that you may create something that's original to you, but it's actually already been done a million times by other people.
Right.
And you don't know it. But the thing is, I have somewhat of a short attention span and can't get through novels. So, like, right now I'm reading a book by Michael Chabon. Chabon, however the hell you say his name. Did I talk about this last week?
We could have talked about all kinds of things
I hope
last
I didn't.
Week, but I don't remember a damn thing.
It's a collection of short essays, like literally short. We're talking like 3 to 5 pages each.
Right, so
and
it can be consumed in pieces.
I am now 3/4 of the way through it because I can get through a book that way. And I know books are broken into chapters, but it's a little bit different because there's a narrative that I'm not the type of person that gets a new book and sits down with it in bed and like reads it for 5 hours straight right away. I can't do that. I read at intervals when I'm eating or, you know, whatever. Are you trying to find the title
for
this
book? I already found
it,
dude. It's called Manhood for Amateurs.
Thank you.
The Pleasures and Regrets of a Husband, Father, and Son.
Yes. Which is funny because, well, I guess it's easier for you to look it up there than to take off your headset and run into the other room to grab it.
That's what, we have these wonderful little devices.
We
and
do.
And they fit in the palm of your hand.
He's holding a vibrator in his hand right now
it's
when
true.
He talks about the wonderful little device.
It is true. Well, Wait, hold the goddamn phone for just a second there.
I'm trying to wrap things up.
The problem is when you make a comment like the vibrator isn't a wonderful little device, you insinuate that it's not wonderful, and it is. Is it not, PJ? Is it not wonderful?
I'm just gonna keep laughing.
You just fucking cackle.
But you can tell there's a big difference between my drunk giggle and...
Yeah, because your drunk giggle ends with you on the floor rolling around.
And I am relatively vertical right now.
More or less.
I'm in an L shape.
We need to get you a chair.
What we need to do is take this equipment, which is portable. Oh, really? Are you going to give me the registered now crap Norton antivirus?
That's good, because that doesn't...
Oh, crap.
That doesn't completely... Oh, no, look at that. It's going.
Oh, no, this will keep rolling. This will keep recording. It's good like that.
Wow.
But it's going to try to load up some other nonsense.
Okay, well, since you don't want to talk about vibrators, let's talk about Robert F. Ludwig, which is the best thing. That's the best segue in the entire world right there. And he's going to be thrilled. The next time he's in my ear on Xbox Live... I'm going to hear about this.
I'm sure you will. So Robert asks, why the change of name? When I was about 14 and starting high school, I was, and this is where I was actually a geeky kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, not popular. I didn't play sports. Right. I was into comic books and baseball cards, and my friends were bigger geeks than I was. I was super skinny and had bad hair, probably. Well, at the time, everyone had bad hair, but...
Yeah, that was an easy time for hair.
You know, I probably had a sweet mullet, though.
You probably did. I know I had a sweet mullet.
I wore, like, all gray and cardigan sweaters and fucking, you know, like, Bugle Boy pants. Like, I don't know, I just wasn't cool.
Right. No, dude, yeah, exactly. With you.
But you're not really hyper aware of this stuff until you start to get into those teen years.
Yep.
So I started to become aware of it in junior high, probably, but didn't do anything about it. By the time I hit high school, I was like, okay, I need to make a definite difference. And I was living in Pennsylvania at the time, in the outskirts of Philadelphia. And my grandfather would occasionally be referred to as PJ. I think mostly when I was around to distinguish between... You know, his wife, my grandmother, calling him out and calling me out. So she would call him PJ and call me Paul or whatever. So I just naturally, when I decided I needed to change things up, just, you know, went with the initials. And I was meeting new people in high school, so I could introduce myself as PJ and not have the repercussions that there would have been, or it would have been ineffective if you would have done it in the middle of, you know, like your junior high career.
You don't get to remake yourself in the middle of junior high.
So yeah. I would meet new people, and I would be PJ to them, but then to the people I already knew, I was still Paul, and really, Paul is kind of it's like an accountant's name. Like, no offense to the Pauls out there. I got nothing but love for you, but it's kind of a boring name.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a pretty generic name. Not a lot attached to Paul.
And I was awesome, and I had already changed my last name, which is a whole different episode because of family stuff and adoptions and whatever. So
we could do a whole adoption episode.
Yeah, I know. So it just flowed, PJ Perez.
Yeah.
You know, it flows. And people look like, you're not a Paul. I moved to Las Vegas, or I guess I moved back to Las Vegas the following year. At that point, I could completely, it was a done deal.
Yep, because the chains are off.
With the scant exception of a few people who I actually knew when I lived out here previously that ended up going to the same high school as me, it was a completely fresh start. I got a new haircut, new hair color, I got contact lenses, I bought a new wardrobe, I pretty much did the whole, like...
You did the new guy thing.
I did, and it apparently worked.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can blame pretty much everything that's happened since then. My terrible megalomaniacal approach to life. You can blame it on that, because if I had stayed a geeky skinny kid named Paul, I would not be sitting here talking, thinking people want to hear my voice right now.
It's true.
And your life would probably be much better off for it, and you would have this hour back of your life.
Really?
But
really? No. Hey, this is the highlight of some people's week.
Well, and that's
sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's sad
for them.
It's sad.
But anyway, so that I hope answers your question, Robert. There wasn't really that much to it. But anyone else who was curious, there it is. It's not really a big thing. It's my initials turned into a name. And by the way, if you're spelling it, it's capital P, lowercase j. There's no periods. It's not all caps. That's it. Capital P, lowercase j. Just like any other name. Just like any other name. Well, I guess that wraps up this episode, because
I think that's a wrap.
We are out of stuff and we're out of steam, and I'm getting hungry.
Frankly, I am a little bit hungry. Normally, we have the booze to get us through.
Right.
No booze this time. More booze next week.
Yes.
Not as much booze as 2 weeks ago.
And if anyone out there wants to sponsor an episode of Pocket Full of Awesome, all you really need to do is provide us with liquor.
Yep.
So if you or a loved one work for a bottler or a liquor store or a distributor,
or if you have a liquor store by your house,
if you want to stop by, just hit us up at pocketfulofawesome.com or facebook.com/pocketfulofawesome
or on Twitter at twitter.com/PJPerez or slash
Mikey Vegas.
I will do my own plug, mister.
Sorry, I was trying to, I thought we were going to do like a thing where you say my name.
No,
and
no,
yours.
We're not going to do that. We're not going
to
do that.
And we'll give you directions to Casa Awesome.
Oh, really? No. We'll give you directions to the 7-Eleven parking
you'll
lot.
You'll think it's Casa Awesome.
Yeah, where we will take your booze, take your name, and then we will say it on the internet while we drink your booze.
Exactly.
All right. See you next week, guys.
Adios.